Hello, everybody. Welcome. Thanks for joining us today. My name is Mike Gibb, and I run AccountsRecovery.net, and I want to welcome you to today's webinar on how to train new staff remotely. Training collectors used to be relatively easy. Put them in a classroom or a conference room setting, have a trainer at the front of the room, and repeat. But COVID-19 has upended how collectors are hired and working. So that means it has also upended how they're being trained. There are some great tools to help train collectors remotely, but managing them and making sure collectors are learning what they need to learn is not easy. Today in this webinar, which is being sponsored by Peak Revenue Learning, we have a panel of training experts from across the ARM industry to walk through how they are training new staff remotely and answer your questions to help you set up your operation to succeed. I did want to take a quick second and talk about AccountsRecovery.net. Specifically, I wanted to mention a new video series called You Wanted a Rule, You Got a Rule. Obviously, there's a lot to go through when analyzing Regulation F, the debt collection rule from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. This series features John Bedard going section by section through the rule and breaking down what each section means for the ARM industry. We are now 16 episodes in, and John's provided a ton of great insights. New episodes are usually published every Tuesday. I'll be honest, I forgot to put today's one up. I'll do that first thing tomorrow morning. And all episodes are available for free in the video section on accountsrecovery.net. Now, let me tell you a little bit about today's speakers. Kenneth Aldrich has been working in training and quality for some of the largest BPO firms in the world for the last 25 years. He currently leads a remote team of trainers and quality auditors in support of revenue recovery and customer service operations at Harris & Harris in Chicago. When not in the office, Ken enjoys reef diving and looks forward to being able to travel again once the pandemic is behind us. Mindy Chumley is co-owner of Solverity in Washington State. She's the current treasurer for the Washington Collectors Association and serves on WCA's legislative and education committees. She holds several designations from ACA International, including CCCO, as well as a BA in business administration and postgraduate work in business communications. Mindy is passionate about small business, her family, books, art, and volunteering within her local community. Judy Gray is the chief human resources officer for State, overseeing the human resources team. She joined State in 2014, bringing 20 years of experience. She's responsible for all facets of human resources, including recruitment and retention, performance management, benefits, personnel-related policies and procedures, as well as team member communication and internal events. Since joining State, Judy has led the HR team through tremendous growth, employing innovative recruiting and employee engagement practices to attract the highest quality employees in one of the tightest labor markets in recent history. Christy Lawyer is currently the uninsured motorist training manager at Wilbur Group. She earned her undergraduate degree in business management from Lincoln College, as well as obtaining associate degrees in general insurance, insurance service, claims, and claims management through the institutes. Christy assists the Wilbur team with training and development of its new team members. She's also a trainer specialist for the American Credit and Collectors Association. Through this association, she holds a designation of professional collection specialist. The format for today's webinar is going to be a panel discussion. We encourage everybody to submit questions and we'll get to them as we proceed through our conversation today. To submit a question, you can do so either via the chat box or send it through the Q&A module on your Zoom webinar control panel. This event is being recorded and a recording will be made available in the coming days on accountsrecovery.net. All right, let's start our discussion. Let's start by sort of establishing a baseline across the panel, and maybe we'll have each of you describe how your training situation is currently set up now. You know, our trainers in the office are working from home, our new hires in the office are working from home, and maybe for just provide a little bit of context and color about how things are going so far. Let's go alphabetically. So Kenneth, we'll let you start.
Thank you, Mike. currently we are training remotely. We've been training remotely since the start of the pandemic. The trainers and the new hires are permanently just work from home. The new hires come into the office to pick up equipment if they are not fully remote. If they're fully remote, we courier it to them or ship it to them. The entire training class is done remotely, and then they transition to operations fully remote.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you. Mindy?
So I'm sure I will be talking about Washington state law a few times because we have some of the tightest rules on that. And so right now, new hires have to be trained for 45 days in office. So we don't have the option to do 100% of our training remotely. That's one of the things that I really wanted to be on this panel to talk about, is that that's got to be a piece of your conversation. I do some ongoing training and we have some people doing projects remotely, but most of the time we're in office. We're pretty small and I love being together.
Excellent. Thank you. Judy?
Yeah, we're fully remote. Our new hires are all hired remotely. They're all trained remotely. We are starting to think about coming back into the office slowly and practically and when it's safe to do so. But right now we're having our best results recruiting remotely and training remotely. So our trainers can either be in the office or they can be working remotely to train, but the candidates and the new hires are all remote.
Okay, thank you. Christy.
For our office, our trainers are all in the office. We also do remote and in office, like onboarding or training, kind of like a hybrid situation. Even our remote employees do come in the office for a 2 to 3 week time frame to make sure that we're hitting all the marks and make sure that they're following all the guidelines that we put in place. So a little bit of both.
Okay, excellent. We've got a good mix here of people, some in the office, some people working remotely. So I'm sure to provide some good context as we go through our conversation today. Now let's sort of talk about training classes, and maybe you can talk, we can spend a few minutes talking about how your remote training classes are different, than, or are they different than what you did in the office, or are they the same, just sort of done via Zoom or via some other online platform? And Judy, we'll let you kick this discussion off.
Okay. So obviously the classes are still the same. We have a balance of on-demand learning that we that people go through at their own pace. And we also have instructor-led training. And both of those are conducted remotely. So the content is sort of the same. And I say sort of because different things have happened over the pandemic where we've had to add or take away certain modules. Certain clients have different requirements with the pandemic. But the structure of it is basically the same, except that everyone is on Zoom or on another platform. Sometimes it's Teams, sometimes it's a Zoom platform. And so while it has stayed the same, the effectiveness of it is a little bit different. And one of the things that we found, and I have a feeling you guys have all found the same way, when there's collaboration and there's teamwork, when you're sitting next to somebody and you can lean over to that person and ask them a question or giggle with them over something, that lends itself to the classroom environment. And when you're remote, that piece of connection isn't there as strong as it is. So we continue to work on that. Our trainers do a really good job of connecting with each one of their new hires, but it's a little bit harder when you're on a screen all day.
What I found with that was that there's an element of camaraderie when you're going to breaks and lunches with a group of people.
Yeah.
You all go at the same time, you sit at the same table, you may go to the same restaurant, you may order in, but you chat, you get to know each other. And mm-hmm. if your training period is several weeks, you spend hours outside of work and you start to, I mean, you may not become friends, but you get to know each other better
right.
outside of the classroom environment. And that is something that we've tried to recover. Yesterday I started a new hire class, a small group for vaccination scheduling, actually. And I decided after doing several of these that I was going to take an hour at the end of the day and just chat. And I'm going to lose an hour of training, but we're just going to talk and try to guide the discussion to things that were just entirely unrelated to work. Where were you born? What's your environment like? How have you been this last year? Things like that. Just trying to build a sense of engagement and connection.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
I was just gonna agree with Kenneth. It's harder that the last day of training for us is a graduation day. And we have a fun graduation ceremony. It's a 2-week-long program. We have a fun graduation ceremony where managers and supervisors come in and congratulate the person for graduating. They get a certificate and we all have lunch together. You know, that's a big piece of it, you know, putting eyes on somebody and getting to know them a little better. And like you said, Kenneth, one of the things that we do in that graduation center, that graduation ceremony, is we really talk about personal stuff. How many pets do you have? You know, what are you going to be doing this weekend? Are you going on vacation this summer? And that, you know, that is our competitive advantage from an employee perspective, from an employee engagement perspective. It's just harder.
Yeah, I totally agree. I do think there's ways that we can lean into that, but you have to kind of be willing to try some things and have a few flop and a few work. So we've done some games over Zoom, things like Jeopardy Labs, and we've done used some Kahoot, different fun kind of things. And the interesting thing about seeing people on Zoom is it can be really impersonal, or if you hold someone's kitten up or somebody's child wanders through, obviously you can't during work, but during training you can have some of those personal things and still connect. And so I think you just have to really be aware and lean into it and find that there are all kinds of new innovations that people are all, other industries are finding ways to connect digitally. And I think we still can do it. You can't just leave it at, oh, it's a problem and it's never going to be as good, because I think we can connect digitally. But yeah, I love being with my people. It's different. But yeah, I think it's important to lean into that.
Grubhub gift cards for graduation lunches. That's what we do.
Right, right.
And we have a quiz about what did you get for lunch? What are you eating? I'm having Harold's chicken. I'm having Popeyes. That's Jen's thing.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I was just telling Kenneth, he has all those wonderful places to eat in Chicago.
There are 500 places that deliver. That's good. In the radius. It's not bad.
Yeah, we've done some mini book clubs too, where we read something just for professional development. And then at the end of a regular training, you know, we'll talk HIPAA and then we'll talk whatever our book was just for even 5 minutes. And that connection about something really helps people kind of look forward to some of those more tedious trainings. And that has helped some.
Go ahead, Christy.
Things that we've done to kind of get the engagement going among our new higher groups in our current staff is assigning like a mentor-mentee relationship a lot sooner than maybe we would have previously, so that they do have somebody to engage in and maybe start even not only a work relationship but a personal relationship with, just as you would if you're maybe in the office. So we've started that a lot sooner than maybe we usually would.
We do that too, Christy. We have always had a mentor program, mentor-mentee program, and now we assign those earlier. And we're one of the things that we do on a regular basis throughout the 2 weeks is we have drop-ins, meet and greets, and drop-ins. And so there are pre-scheduled times when leadership will drop in and introduce themselves to the class, and the class will introduce themselves to the leaders. The production leaders will have a specific time for a meet and greet. The ambassadors will have a specific time for meet and greets. And so the training itself is broken up a little bit by meet and greets. And when they were in the office, we would pop in all the time. Whoever happened to be in that particular office, they would just pop in and say, hey, and tell a joke or tell about a call that just happened with somebody. A lot of times we'll pop in and say, hey, we had somebody that just graduated last Friday take their first call and collect X dollars. And so that helps the new hires know that it's really possible and it's exciting and we all celebrate it.
Can I answer, Michael? I think in the notes, you've got a question about how to leverage Zoom to train like side by side. And I would just say this seems really simple, but that share screen function is enormous.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I'm doing my office meetings and doing a training, I can talk all day long and it glaze over. But if I can show that picture of the software, and you can, you can redact out and all the things that you need to do. But if you just screenshot exactly what you're talking about, that understanding is just like being together. That's what I do. I don't know if other people do.
I would say that that is one of the kind of surprises of remote training has been leveraging the technology that we could have been using in the classroom, perhaps, to find the best performers out in operations, and they can share their screen with an entire classroom. Everybody can see what is happening. And through remote observation in our phone system, everybody can hear both sides of that conversation, and they can be muted. They can, the collector is sharing their screen, showing how things work. And because we use Microsoft Teams as well as Zoom, they can all chat with each other and answer and ask questions. So it is more of a collaborative experience. So rather than so many one-on-one observations, it's a guided observation with the trainer able to interject. Plus, we get to select our very best performers.
I'm just going to, I'm going to hit the pause button briefly on our conversation so far, which is going great. But I want to take a minute to introduce Chris Rickman from Peak Revenue Learning, the sponsor of today's webinar, to say a few words. Chris.
Thank you, Mike, and hello, everyone. We are grateful for the opportunity to sponsor today's webinar. Our company provides Knowledge Source, the leading workforce education, compliance, and micro-learning training platform to companies with collection operations. Knowledge Source is used by our clients to simplify and lower the cost of training new and existing employees, whether on-site or remote. Our clients are companies that want to build and maintain a high level of assurance their staff members have mastered and are maintaining their mastery of the knowledge expected of them when interacting with consumers. Knowledge Source automatically builds documentation of training efforts of the company for existing and prospective clients and for regulators. For those of you I don't know or haven't met, I've spent much of my career in executive management of a collection firm. Knowledge Source was created to address many of the challenges and opportunities seen in training staff members. Use Knowledge Source to implement a continuous training cycle, reinforcing the knowledge you expect staff members to have. Present collection, client, or company policies and procedures to your staff members during onboarding training and at ongoing recurring schedules where they acknowledge they have read and understood those policies or procedures. Present tests during training events to validate learning, and at recurring schedules to certify staff knowledge in areas you wish, such as the FDCPA, HIPAA, and others. Present videos or slideshows, audio recordings during onboarding training, or after a staff member has been released into their job function to reduce time to proficiency, or even afterward to maintain focus on best practices. In summary, Knowledge Source will close knowledge gaps, promote accountability, lower the cost of training, document for prospective and existing clients, for regulators, for auditors, your company's proactive role in preventing error, compliance nonconformities, and maximizing revenue. To find out more about us, visit peakrevenuelearning.com. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chris, and thanks again to Peak Revenue Learning for sponsoring today's webinar. Some great questions are coming in from the audience, and I want to take a minute and maybe try and get through some of those. There was one here that I thought was really good. Where did it go? Here it is. It sounds like there is a consensus with the panelists on the importance of celebrating a new team member's graduation from training. Is this something that you find drastically improves a new team member's experience? Does anyone want to take that one?
I'll take it to begin with. Not only do we try to celebrate a graduation, but we try to celebrate even the little wins in between that so that we know that we're going on the same path. They feel that they're appreciated, the work that they're putting in is appreciated, even if it isn't necessarily, a $10,000 payment or something like that. Every little point, there's wins that you can celebrate, and it kind of helps with the engagement also. So we do it on a multitude of different levels, not necessarily just at graduation, just throughout the whole, their whole time here, I guess you could say.
We recognize that.
We do too, Christy. Oh, sorry, okay. Kenneth.
I was going to say that we recognize that collectors are primarily monetarily focused. So that what we bring in is there are competition. There is a competition during our nesting or Academy Bay period that they're told about before it happens, that there will be a gift card for Amazon to the collector with the highest urgency payment in that period and the collector with the highest total payment, like payment plan arrangement or et cetera. And that fosters a friendly sense of competition. And because it is, highest urgency payment and largest total amount collected during the nesting period. So it kind of keeps excitement going all the way through until the winners are announced on the last day.
Excellent. It seems to me, sort of summing up what we've talked about so far, that the biggest disconnect or the biggest difference between remote training versus online, where we're when in office training, is engagement. You know, either the trainer's engagement with the new hires, or the new hire, you know, the employees' engagement with each other. Either on a scale of 1 to 10, or you know, give it a letter grade. But I'm wondering how satisfied you all, each of you are, in how you've been able to replicate that engagement, and if there are any areas where you still feel like things could be improved.
I think there's always room for improvement. And if you, you know, you sit on your laurels and say, okay, we're doing this perfect, we don't need to improve, I think you're not serving your employees very well or your new hires very well. But I do think looking into new types of technology, there's all kinds of new technologies. And I think Kenneth said it appropriately. There's been some surprises, some pleasant surprises in how to use some of this technology that wouldn't have occurred to us if we hadn't been into an emergency situation. But the connection, you know, one of our competitive advantages in the employee market is the relationships that our employees have with each other and the relationships that our employees have with their supervisors. And we need to keep striving for ways to help those relationships form and stay good, solid relationships. And so we need to keep looking at stuff like that. There's all kinds of new stuff, games, you know, all the games that we just talked about, the different games, the different fun things, the different ways to, you know, we do a lot of scavenger hunts, you know, and they're fun. You know, you can have a list of things. The trainer can have a list of things and say, okay, everybody, for the next 5 minutes, the first person to bring me a plastic Easter egg wins a $25 gift card. We wouldn't do that right now because everybody knows where there's a plastic Easter egg, but maybe it would be the first person to bring me a candy cane would get a $25 gift card. And it makes you get out of your chair and run around. It makes you have fun, and it makes the classroom, allows the classroom to tease each other.
You know, Judy, another way to do a scavenger hunt is a data scavenger hunt, where you give a reward for someone who finds the, you know, relevant statute or the relevant policy in your policy manual, so that you're rewarding people for diving into the data that they're supposed to be studying anyway, but it makes it more fun, especially if it's that, you know, really hyper-technical policies and procedures.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Are you finding the new hires themselves, are they receptive to the idea of remote training? Or, you know, are they, you know, the games and everything else that you're doing to try and get them to engage with one another, to engage with the company, to sort of get buy into the culture? Are you finding that they've been receptive to it, or is that something that's different because they're sitting at home in front of a computer, that they're really not as receptive to the idea?
I found that our employees, the new hires, are just as receptive remotely as they were in office. And I wonder if it's because we have scheduled time where we do these meet and greets or drop-ins. And because of that, it's not an accident. They know we're coming. They know we're coming at 10 o'clock, and they know exactly who's going to be coming at 10 o'clock. And they're ready with questions for us rather than, you know, a new hire is a new hire. They're a little nervous. They don't know us all very well. And if they have time to prepare and they know that Tim Hague is going to come in at 10 o'clock on Tuesday to do a meet and greet, they're going to be ready with some questions for Tim. And so I found it to be even more engaging when we schedule those meet and greet times.
I know for our newer people, there is hesitation with getting involved in things. So I like the idea of scheduling it so they know it's coming. So that's a great, great tip. But sometimes it is hard to get them involved in, because a lot of the contests and things that we have are with our senior staff along with our new higher staff. And it's a little bit scary to do that at first. So we have broken it out a little bit where, you know, a certain group of people will be part of a contest or something, and then, you know, other people, and then also do them together. But it is scary at first, especially when you have no idea who the people are that you're competing against. So, but I like that idea about the time. That's a great idea.
One of the things that we're able to do, that scary piece, right? Remember what it was like for all of us to be a new hire. You know, you don't know what the culture is. You don't know what the language is. You don't know, you don't know how friendly people are with each other. And one of the things that we've been able to do rather successfully is before a person even starts, while it's still in the HR realm, we're on the phone with them. We actually do a one-on-one orientation the week before they start when they get their equipment. So we kind of walk them through some of the HR paperwork that you do ahead of time. And then they ask us any questions if they need help learning how to use their computer system and how to get in Teams. Some of these new folks have never used Teams before, except in the interview process. And so they already know two or three of the HR people. And they've laughed a little. They've gotten to know each other a little. So when they start on Monday morning at 8 o'clock, they at least know a few people, and it makes it a little bit easier for them to feel a little bit more comfortable because you get to know the culture when you talk to two or three different people.
Speaking to it from a purely kind of resistance to remote education standpoint, we've been tracking our attrition, and I've seen the questions that have come up. It's like bottom line questions. Has attrition increased? This was probably the biggest surprise for me was that our attrition decreased by 2% from 2020 to 2021. Yeah. So we haven't seen an appreciable increase in training attrition, particularly due to training remotely. That said, I can think of at least three separate occasions where we did have training attrition where it was cited the remote environment was a factor. And the commonality between them was, I believe, primarily familiarity with the technology. The more time that we spent in the beginning of the class getting everybody very, very comfortable with the digital classroom, that paid dividends later on. That as soon as you show somebody that you can still reach over their shoulder and, you know, take their mouse from them and move where it needs to go, I think that takes away a lot of the I need somebody to help me idea. I need somebody in person. You can still look over their shoulder. You can still help them out with the functionality in Teams and Zoom.
Exactly.
Sorry, go ahead. Go ahead, Mindy.
I was just going to say, I don't know if this is a really good time to put this. I certainly don't want to be a killjoy on anybody training, and I'm not an attorney, so I'm not legally advising you, but I would really recommend that everybody make sure that you're running your training program through your policy and procedure and through your compliance attorneys. I know Washington State, our brand new stay-at-home rules require 45 days of training for new hires in office. And I know the intent of the collection agency board that applies to people out who are licensed in Washington calling into Washington, even from other states. So if you're all remote, you want to take a really good look at Washington State. And I know that there's at least two other states that are looking at their permanent rules and are looking at modeling some of that language after Washington's rule. And so policy has got and compliance has got to be a piece of the conversation that you filter everything through. You know, fact of life, everything we do is looked at. And state specific Washington, you got to have 45 days in office, regardless of where your collector is located. So just run that one by your compliance attorneys. And maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think so.
Always comes back to compliance, doesn't
yep,
it?
Always.
Another question that's come in from the audience. How do you substitute for mentoring and job shadowing for new collectors when training remotely? How do you monitor and coach calls remotely? Does anyone have any insights they'd like to share?
Teams. Teams has that functionality.
All of the trainers.
I've already made a note, so we're going to do a webinar on Teams. That's coming. So everyone who's listening and watching, be on the lookout for that.
Our phone software allows for remote observation. They dial into the line. The trainer listens to the call and can chat with the, this is actually a little bit better because the a trainee who's taking a phone call and has a question, now it is just assumed that they will chat that question. They don't have to stop talking. They can keep talking to the guarantor, the consumer, while the trainer can chat back and forth and give advice while listening to both sides of the phone call. It has not been substantially changed. We still monitor and coach calls in much the same way we did in the office.
For us, we haven't substituted really any of it. We've just found a different way to do it through different technologies. We're still doing shadowing. I guess we use different language around that, like a side-by-side situation, whether that be them just watching and observing and listening to calls, watching the screens, the different keystrokes that everybody's taking. And also, opposite of that, where we're watching them take all the steps. So we haven't really substituted anything, just with technology, been able to do it differently.
Mm-hmm. We had a temporary license for the training classes that allows them to do supervisor observations and hear both ends of a phone call. And it's, we pull the license back into the pool at the end of their training period.
Okay. Let's move on and let's talk a little bit. Oh, wait, another question coming in. We're going to hold on for that one for a second. We've talked about how things are now. Let's spend a little bit of time talking about how things are going to be going forward. Obviously, there's still a lot up in the air about, you know, going back to the office, not going back to the office, never going back to the office. Do you think that the way things are being done now is how you're just going to do it going forward? Or do you envision that if there comes a time where people are allowed to go back to their offices, you're going to bring things back? Or will it be a hybrid? Have you thought about that at all and have any suggestions or ideas about how you'd like to kind of, you know, continue this training, continue to develop your training programs going forward?
It's clear to us that some people are not working remotely very effectively. We can see that, and we've been able to see that throughout the past year. For whatever reason, some people get their energy from others, and some people get their energy from themselves. And so those folks who are not doing well already want to come back to the office because they want to do well. They want to be successful. They're lonely. Maybe their families are driving them crazy. We actually had one person say, please let me come back to the office. My family's driving me crazy. Work is my solace. And so, you know, we're gonna start thinking about those folks who need and want to come back, might be the first wave of folks that come back. That's kind of our current thinking, but it isn't sketched out yet. It's just a little too soon right now to start thinking about that. But some folks really do want to come back and probably need to come back.
I think it's the sort of thing too that can be merit-based, where if you have a hybrid, people, you know, if their all their numbers start dropping, then they have to come back into the office.
Yeah.
Obviously an option, and then they can earn back the right to be at home or to you know, do a split shift or something like that, some in at home and some in the office. But some people love to be at home, and so using
yeah.
it as an incentive or something that you earn, or you know your metrics have to be met to be able to keep it, I think it's got potential to be really valuable.
Yeah, I do too. I think we've already started that kind of messaging, because as much as we have some people that say, please, can I come back to the office? We have others, probably even more, that say, I want to stay remote forever. And so the messaging is real consistent. If you are effective and even more effective working remotely, because let's face it, if you're able to get out of bed at 7 o'clock in the morning, put your slippers on and cook your, you know, get your coffee going and can start at 8 o'clock and be real effective, we probably want that for you too. And so let's keep those numbers up. It is very powerful. You are exactly right.
I'd say that we do plan to bring training back into the office. Currently, that's the current thing, is that we're going to bring new hire training back into the office. That'll be one of the earliest groups that comes back when we can return. From the quality assurance side, my quality assurance monitors, my auditors, they're like, yeah, it's quieter at home. I can hear better at home. I don't need to be in the office.
Interesting. Let's see here. We have a question that came in. Asking about sort of post new hire training. And I know some of you mentioned that you're starting your mentorship programs a little earlier than you did in the past. Are there any other changes that you've made to your post new hire training programs as a result of going remote only, or a hybrid of remote and some in the office?
For us, we've done a lot more of a like on-demand for the continuous training, rather than, you know, let's all get in a conference room and do something like that. It's kind of the same as any of the new hire training. It's maybe some video training, follow up after that, instead of, you know, let's all get together in a room.
Yeah, we're doing a lot more on demand through recorded webinars or live webinars, depending on the topic, where we need, you know, give and take and questions and answers. It depends on if it's going to be a live or a recorded webinar. We're about getting ready for open enrollment. And I know this isn't operational training, but this is the second year now that we've had a complete virtual open enrollment. And we're using a blend of methods and media to make sure that we reach every single employee and that we answer questions. And the same can be said for new hire and continuous training.
We've moved for our continuous education. Things have been added to the LMS, mm-hmm. our learning management system. Things that weren't in there before are in there now. Our benefits enrollment this year was done through the LMS. Our compliance, our annual compliance refreshers are being done primarily through the LMS. Honestly, I think there's been benefits in you don't have travel time anymore. You used to have to factor travel time, getting off the phone, getting into a classroom, and now you don't. So we've seen some efficiencies there.
I was just wondering if anybody has kind of played around with voluntary continuing ed. So some things, Kenneth, you mentioned, like our annual refreshers, that kind of thing, that's required training or legal or legislative change, that kind of thing has to be changed. But have you played around with the idea of doing kind of voluntary continuing ed, where people could on their own time have access to classes that you pay for, but you're not paying the the training time and then perhaps incentivizing those people in a different way for completion, you know, like a bonus, or maybe it's tied to an increase in hourly pay or something. I think about companies like Starbucks, for example, who will pay for people's college, but they don't get pay for their study time. And I just wondered if anyone's flirted with that in this context.
We've always had tuition reimbursement, and that hasn't changed, except that the tuition that we're typically reimbursing for is now almost always online. And 10 years ago, I think a lot of tuition reimbursement policies excluded online learning.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a reimbursement, and they would do it on their own time.
Yeah, I've thought about doing that, not partly for like continuing ed college, but also for industry continuing ed, mm-hmm. where people could, I don't know, earn something else as just an incentive, but it's not part of their mandatory pay.
Another question has come in. Are you finding it difficult to keep your trainers or training staff motivated?
We aren't.
No, not really.
No.
Good. Another question. Have you identified any specific characteristics in your new hires that has been an indicator of success as a remote worker, or maybe an indicator of someone who does not work well remotely?
I can tell you, being part of the HR, you know, heading the HR team, if someone gets distracted in the interview process, they're probably not going to do very well in remote learning. And believe it or not, some people get distracted in the interview process. We have three interviews. They're all virtual interviews. The first one's a telephone, the second one's an HR, more in-depth interview, and then the third one is an interview with leadership. And we follow scenario type interviewing, behavior-based interviewing, and the candidate has to stay focused to answer the question. And if they can't stay focused, they're not going to do well in a virtual environment. But quite frankly, they're not going to do well on the job, even if it wasn't a virtual environment.
Anyone know?
I do know that.
Go ahead, Christy.
For our specific to our remote employees, and I think someone brought this up before, having the internal motivation instead of needing an external motivator, identifying that that's there makes a big difference in, you know, how, I don't want to say successful, but the ability to be successful is the difference. You know, no one's there every day to, you know, pump you up, mm-hmm. you know, sitting next to you where you're at home. You kind of got to find that internal drive. So I've identifying maybe that has been an indicator, not necessarily, because I think that's kind of hard to identify, but could be.
Yeah.
I think for me, one other thing that I'm always looking for, if I'm not going to have a lot of contact with an employee or a partner or something, is that they know how to ask for help. And that seems kind of silly, but when you're not there in the office with them, you can look at the metrics, but at the same time, you have to have someone that's willing to communicate, you know, verbally, hey, I have a question, or I'm willing to get on. And if you have someone that isn't willing to do that, you're going to have a problem.
An expectation that we set in the training classes is that if you begin to fall behind or you have an issue, you need to bring it up immediately, because we have no way of really knowing until we do an attention check or a knowledge check at the end of a lesson that you weren't following along. You've got to be able to speak up.
Yeah, and it's a good thing to say, I didn't understand that. Can you repeat that? Because honestly, if you're talking with the consumer on the phone, asking those clarifying questions for people is important, and to say, I didn't understand what you just said, or can you clarify? And if you can't do that in an interview or in training, you're going to do it on the phone either. So
it's a very powerful statement when you tell a new hire that the only foolish question is the question you don't ask. And we say that regularly in new hire, because it's true.
So I've got three kids here at home who are all doing remote learning, and I can kind of sort of equate remote learning with remote training. And it's interesting to see one's in elementary school, one's in middle school, one's in high school. So they're different schools, different train, you know, sort of different remote environments, different classes, things like that. And it's interesting to see the difference, the differences from one teacher to the next and how they're approaching remote learning. So I'm wondering how you're working with your trainers to get them so that when they're remote, you know, is it the same sort of skill set as it is when they're, you know, when they're in the office, or is it a different sort of skill set that you've had to talk to them about sort of being able to put into play to work, you know, to be able to sort of effectively train somebody remotely versus doing it in the office?
Attention grabbing techniques are different when you cannot move around very much.
Mm-hmm.
It's facial animation is much more important. If you're used to moving around a room to gauge attention, walking up behind people, breaking up sidebar conversations by, you know, standing over somebody for a moment, the kinesthetics changes a lot when you are in an office chair.
Yeah. Not doing this, not leaning back.
Yeah,
you know, you
face.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I do it all the time, touching my face. Great. Yeah.
One thing that is a pointer that I give is turn off your own camera. Do not look at your own face. That doing that for 8 hours a day is killer. It makes it much, much harder because our eyes are just attracted to our own face and we get extremely self-conscious. Imagine training a classroom while you're looking in a mirror all day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had an employee yesterday that we were not going to let her turn off her camera, but I said, just grab a little sticky note and cover your face up and that'll go away.
That's a good idea.
You can turn off own camera in Zoom. You can turn off your own camera in Zoom, yeah. So you don't see it.
I find the biggest issue doing all these is I have to stare at the camera where I want to look at the monitor where everybody make eye contact with people who are talking to me. But if I'm not, you know, if I got to do that, the only way to do that is staring at the camera. And that's been a big problem for me to kind of try and do. So I definitely can kind of sympathize with that and the challenges that go along with that. We have had a couple of questions. Kenneth, you kind of addressed it a little bit earlier. We have a couple of questions come in asking how remote training has had any impact, the impact that remote training has had on turnover rates. I know, Kenneth, you mentioned that, but Mindy, Christy, or Judy, I'm wondering if there's anything you were willing to share about any change in your turnover rates that you've noticed.
No, I don't know. People seem grateful to have a job and to be working. And so I don't know if the difference is that we're in the middle of a pandemic or coming out of one, or if it's the difference there, but we haven't, turnover's not been a problem.
Good.
Same with us.
We had a question. Yeah, go ahead. Good. Thank you. Sorry. We had a question that came in about mentorship programs and what they look like. And the question was asked by someone who was anonymous. If you want to reach out to me, I did a webinar about that last month. About building mentor programs. I'm happy to share the recording with you if you wanted a copy of that. But if anybody wanted to share what their mentorship program looks like and whether the new members, new hires are have, whether they touch us, work with a specific person or whether they're working with a sort of a group of mentors during that process.
Ours are assigned a mentor, a specific mentor, and that mentor stays with them for the first 90 days. So they form a nice relationship that begins in very early part of training. They help them with questions. They're there. They're their go-to guy or go-to gal to ask a question to. They meet with them on a regular basis and kind of talk through what they might be going through. And they make sure that they have checklists. On a regular basis where they go through and ask specific questions to make sure they're comfortable with certain concepts.
For our mentor relationships, it's generally someone that they're a senior that's on the team that they're going to be going to. So it has the same schedule. And they are constantly in contact, whether it be in a remote environment, Teams, we use Teams also, and making sure that if they're in office, we do a lunch, you know, one time so they get to have a face-to-face relationship or start a face-to-face relationship. But it's not assigned for a certain amount of time, but generally for the first couple of weeks, it's their go-to person.
I'm small enough, I don't have that problem. I have an opposite problem that a new person's going to come in and not feel part of the team because everybody else is pretty bonded. So I make new hires train under every single person in the office. You can learn something from everyone. And so everybody does training together, like pieces of it.
We have team chats, which are just a general conversation. And sometimes I feel like there's almost more conversation and connection with a wider variety of people. Now that we can instantly communicate with anybody in the company without having to get up from your desk or get off the phone call. So I think that communication still goes on. And I think that mentoring still happens fairly organically in some of these chats. You can go back and look at the history and see, you know, who's been answering questions. We've picked floor coaches and supervisors from people because you can just watch their behavior. Are they the kind of person who wants to reach out and help new people? And you can just see it happen.
Obviously, everybody here has made the best of remote training. In a lot of ways, it seems like it's just as effective, or really, haven't really skipped any steps from the days when you were doing it in the office. But if you had to choose between remote training or in-office training, and you could only choose one or the other, you know, which one would you choose?
I don't know that I could choose. Remote training has opened up our labor pool, and that's become very important for us. I think in-office training is more effective because of the relationships and the connections.
I personally prefer in-person training. It is much easier to gauge a room, to feel out a mood when you are able to see everyone all together, see how they react to what you say more quickly. We take steps to mitigate that remotely by having an assistant who's always watching and doing regular attention checks. But I can present in a classroom and still watch what everybody is doing. I can make eye contact very easily. If I'm presenting remotely or, you know, if I record something, I can do that.
I'd rather be in person. But I will say that some of the technology has been pretty fun, and I think I would use it in an in-person training.
Yeah.
Question you for you, Kenneth. You've mentioned attention checks several times. If you don't mind, how are those conducted?
Well, we didn't have webcams at the beginning of this. So we have an assistant trainer in the pool, and they are in the classroom. So they're regularly checking in with everybody, because if we have a class of 16 people, the trainer cannot stop the presentation to make sure that everybody is actually following along. Those are conducted just by saying, hey, that the assistant will do a direct chat through Zoom and say, hey, so what did you think of this? What did you think of that? And just making sure that we're getting responses. If you're familiar with attention checks in self-led training, where you have an attention, they have to click a link or they have to answer a brief question. We have a lot more knowledge checks, even after very, very short lessons, that like a 15-minute or a 5-minute quick hit lesson. There's going to be a couple of questions after, just to make sure, not to test your knowledge really, but just to make sure that you were paying basic attention, that you were there in your seat. Now that we have webcams, it's less of an issue because you can see that everybody is there. But before that was a standard part of the loadout, we had people who were like, why can't you answer a basic question about what we just went over? Were you in the bathroom and I just didn't know?
Another question about mentor programs. How do you think the employee organizational structures application helps with new hire success? Oh. Everyone's thinking.
Yeah, can you say that again? I didn't know that question. Can you repeat it?
Yeah, of course. Sorry. Since we're talking about the mentor-mentee programs, how do you think the employee organizational structures application helps with new hire success? Maybe that's supposed to be employer organizational structures application.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. To the person who asked that question, if you want to clarify and resubmit it, we'll try and get it asked and answered in the next couple of minutes we have. we have left. We have 4 minutes left. There are four of you, so even I can do the math and give each of you 1 minute to summarize your comments or share any other parting words of wisdom or any other tips or tricks that you didn't get a chance to mention but wanted to before we wrapped up today. And since we went one alphabetical order at the start, we'll go reverse alphabetical order this time. And Christy, you get to go first.
Really, the only thing, and we've kind of touched on it a couple times, is how important the engagement is. Not necessarily engagement as far as the training material, but even personal engagement when we're dealing with a remote employee. Really, that's the biggest thing, getting to know them as you would if they were here, you know, little chats on the way to the break room, things like that. Make sure you're intentional about still doing that with your remote employees. That's really the biggest thing that I've found to be very important when we're dealing with in a remote environment.
Okay, great, thank you. Judy.
Keeping the fun factor in. And that's engagement too, right, Christy, having fun. But trying to keep the fun factor, the trainers are constantly looking for new fun things to do with the trainees, not just icebreakers, but to break up one section from another. And so we've discovered some fun things. And we continue to learn new fun things. We surprise ourselves.
Excellent. Thank you. Mindy?
Yeah, I'm going to hammer it one more time. Check your policies and watch, because the rules are going to be changing as states roll from temporary work from orders into permanent work from orders. And don't just assume that you're okay on it maintaining what you did under a temporary order. It may be different, and watch state by state. That's my biggest thing. You got to watch those.
Okay. Thank you. And Kenneth?
Just one surprising thing that we learned, one surprising benefit is that there is a small benefit when you are teaching pure phone work to not having people face-to-face. That when you are doing your in-classroom role plays and just call flow exercises, that not being able to see the person that you're role playing with kind of focuses you on your voice, focuses you on your active listening skills and your negotiations.
Excellent. Well, Kenneth, Mindy, Christy, and Judy, thank you so much for your time and your expertise today. I really appreciate you sharing. So on behalf of everybody who watched and listened and definitely learned something, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Also want to thank Peak Revenue Learning one last time for sponsoring today's webinar. Please go to www.peakrevenuelearning.com to learn more about the company. As well, I hope everyone takes a minute and shares their thoughts in a survey that should pop up on your screen when you leave the webinar today. You should also get an email in your inbox tomorrow. So please share your thoughts about today's webinar, as well as any other ideas you'd like to see in an upcoming webinar. We'd love to hear those. So feel free to do that. Everybody, thank you very much for participating today. I really appreciate it. We're back tomorrow. We've got a webinar. We've got leaders from the ACA International and RMA International and National Creditors Bar Association to talk about sort of the first anniversary of the pandemic and how it's reshaped the industry going forward. So we hope to see everybody back for that. So you can find the link to register in the events calendar on accountsrecovery.net. So until then, everybody, take care. Stay safe. Be well. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye. Have a great day.